brute force. If it doesn't work, you're just not using enough. You're listening to Soft Web Radio, Special Operations Military News, and Straight Talk with the Guys in the Community.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to Soft Rep Radio. Soft Rep Radio on time, on target. I am your host today, Steve Valastrieri. Joining us once again is Ramon Castro. Ramon is representing American Veterans Homefront Initiative. And we've had Ramon on the podcast before. And for those of you who don't remember or didn't tune in for that particular episode, he's walking about 2,000 miles from San Diego, California, all across the United States southern border, you know, California, Arizona, New Mexico. He's now in West Texas. He's checking in with us. And, you know, we're going to talk to him about the Homefront Initiative and what it's all about. So we want to welcome him back. Ramon, how are them feet holding up, bro?
Yeah, they're you know what? They're you'd be, well, you know, being special forces or whatnot, you know how resilient the body can be. Once you put it under a little bit of stress, you can really test it, and you know, most of the time, if you do it right, take care of it, it'll bounce back and you know, help you out. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, well, you know, when you first start off, I'm sure your feet were kind of like hamburger, and then they're like anything. It's just, your feet are like a good pair of boots. They get broken into that walking. And I'm sure now they're a lot better off than you were in that first probably 4 or 5 days, huh?
Yeah. No, it was brutal. I would say, I think when you and I had first talked, I think I was on my way back to return a rental vehicle. I had a scheduled 2 days of rest. Because then I think if I hadn't have done that, it gave my body time to recover from that first week of breaking it in, I might not be where we're at now. But so that helped. My feet were, they're still, I wouldn't say 100%, but you know, you got blisters under blisters and, you know, calluses and, you know, somebody said, hey, go get a pedicure. And I was like, you're out of your mind. Those calluses, I've been working hard on them. I want them there.
You know, it's like when you're done with your service, then you want to get rid of them. But, you know, when you need them to walk on, those calluses are your friend.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. So we're feeling real good. I'm feeling healthy. We brought on another Navy veteran, Oscar Suarez, on the team. He's been coordinating the trip as well as keeping track of my diet and my breaks. And there really aren't any breaks, but he's making sure that I'm, you know, staying hydrated and getting some, you know, fluids and food in my system and making sure that I stay healthy. So it's been a real good deal that it's been actually very good for us that he's come on. We make an excellent team. He drives the vehicle. I do all the walking, and so far, so good. It's been great so far. We've had a very positive reaction from America, or the parts of America that we've been to so far. You know, and across the political spectrum, and I would say, you know, this isn't as I think we've been now on the trail, we've been talking about, you know, this isn't a political issue for any specific party. This is an American issue. And I think even, you know, when you consider of, you know, liberal, conservative, you know, left, right, or whatever, or any race or creed, everybody's been on board and very supportive and actually shocked of the word that we're spreading when we say, you know, deported veterans. That to them, it seems like something that just couldn't be, but it's something that is. So right. It's been a great trip.
Yeah, and refresh our listeners' memories about this and what, you know, Walk the Line is all about, and about what you're trying to do here, because you touched on it. It's, you know, about veterans, but, you know, explain to everyone what it is that you're doing and why.
Yeah. So what we're doing is we're walking from San Diego, off of Imperial Beach, all the way to Boca Chica, Texas, right past Brownsville. So from sea to sea, We're walking to bring awareness, and we're making some asks and requests of the President of the United States and Congress, because then, you know, we for the last 25 years, there have been what we calculate to be thousands of veterans who were green card soldiers at one point and came out of the service. And for one reason or another, they ran into legal issues and legal troubles and have been deported from this nation after they served their time and paid their debt to society. Again, they never took care of the citizenship part. Many who I've spoken to have stated that, you know, when they went on active duty, they received their military ID card, and so they were able to move about all over the country with that ID. And they honestly believe that their situation had been taken care of. And, you know, that's on them. But again, many consider that, you know, they just never consider that they would be facing a situation such as deportation after serving our country. And many of them are, you know, combat veterans with medical issues such as PTSD and whatnot. And they never crossed their mind that they could one day end up in a situation where they would be deported to a country where most of them don't remember ever being there. And many instances, they don't even speak the language.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, you know, it's one thing if you came from there, you know, as a young adult, and, you know, you remember your family, your heritage, whatever, living in the country. It's another thing if you don't ever remember even being there. And right. And as we've all known, we've all been in foreign countries where, you know, when you don't speak the language, it's pretty tough. It's tough to get around. It's tough to get a job. It's tough to do anything.
Correct. There's one instance. I actually went back into Nogales, Mexico, and I talked to a gentleman there, and Oscar went with me, who again is my safety vehicle driver and coordinator. And he started to speak to him in Spanish, and he said to him, "Hey, let's just do English, bro." He said, "I'm much better at it." So we're sitting there, and it shocked me. And because we are now in Mexico, we for some reason believe that, hey, that's, you know, we're speaking Spanish now. And, he's not fluent in Spanish. And even after being deported so many years, he's still not comfortable with the language. So, you know, again, I'd like to remind, you know, your audience that, you know, these are folks who came to this country legally. And I know that this is a hot button item that when we talk about, you know, immigration. But again, these were legal residents. They came here. They did it the right way. Were brought here as children legally. And many of them, you know, recognized that and wanted to serve this country, or believe that this is their country. You know, they love this country and wanted to serve and give back for the opportunities that they received while being here. And, you know, and never expected. And honestly, many of them didn't even consider the fact that they were, you know, still they're immigrants and not naturalized citizens. So, you know, green card holders and again, ran into this ugly situation. And if I could, sir, just say that many of the folks that I've been visiting. So as we're walking along the border, right, we're also visiting these towns south of the border and visiting shelters or folks who are down there on their own. You know, one in particular didn't have any family when he was deported. All of his family is now in the U.S. You know, all American born, and he was like the last of the group that to be considered immigrant. And, you know, the gentleman suffers from, you know, PTSD. He's a Gulf War veteran. He was in combat. He did, see casualties as well. He was there, and he suffers from, his PTSD was obvious, and he has, I think he's at great risk. And many of these folks who I've talked to that are deported, show the symptoms of PTSD. Not only that, is, you know, aggravated by their current situation, they are in dire need. And just many of them, the austerity that they are currently, you know, just living in. And it's just such a sad situation to see. And if, you know, I was passionate about this when we first started, I mean, my resolve has strengthened at this point because I see what these men and women have done for our country. And what they're facing now, when, you know, out there on their own, some are okay. I'm not going to say it all, but some of them are in just such horrible situations, you know, not deserving of, they deserve to be, you know, have much better and at the very least access to their medical, the VA medical system, and just to live a decent, you know, quality of life and finish off their years, many of them being Vietnam veterans who are suffering, as we all know, because of Agent Orange and many of the other issues that they ran into while serving in country in Vietnam.
Yeah, and, you know, when you're talking about combat vets, I mean, you know, some of these guys served more in more recent conflicts, I'm sure, as well. And
correct.
Then, you have guys who not just PTSD, but, you know, injuries a result of combat. And, you know, there's no way for them to access the VA when they're deported. And that's just absolutely wrong. And it goes against everything, you know, that they signed up for.
That's right. Some of them, I found it interesting that some of them have been able to process, disability ratings and compensation. But even then, they're taking this compensation and using it to treat their medical issues. And so at the end of the day, even that compensation adds up to nothing because they have to save several months of it just to be able to take care of their treatment up. You know, I met one gentleman who has a severe spinal issues, with his back, it requires surgery on his neck. These are injuries that he suffered while in service. And, you know, his family raised money for him. And there were contributions made on behalf of our nonprofit and the little bit of money that he received. And it still didn't cover, half of the first surgery. And he comes out of surgery and now he needs another surgery. So it's just never ending. When they find a little bit of relief, it doubles down. And again, we understand and they understand, they're very aware that, they made a mistake, they committed a crime, but they paid their debt to society, and at the same time, they also sacrificed a lot for this nation. So, I consider if they pay their debt to society, they should have the opportunity to have a fresh start in this country, a country that they grew up in and that they served honorably. Just a very tough situation to be in for these folks.
Now, how is it that, explain to our listeners how you came about, setting this organization up and, what motivated you to do this?
Yeah, so I actually started working, through my own experience. I exited active duty in November 2003, just dealing with the VA and the way that we were treated and whatnot over the years, seeing how difficult it was, seeing how many of these folks are, 100% disabled, can't work, and we're having to hire attorneys just to be able to, get some compensation or some of the services that they earned, some of them. So we started years ago with seminars, just helping out veterans here and there. About a year and a half ago, we started this nonprofit, American Veterans Homefront Initiative, with the goal of helping folks that were transitioning and, dealing with other issues such as homelessness and whatnot, with the ultimate goal of helping to bring down the average of suicide, 22 a day, which I think it's a little bit lower now. The numbers fluctuate, but that's how it started. And a year and a half ago, we were working on a podcast and we found out that, there was such a thing as deported veterans. We visited Mexicali, then in Tijuana. We visited the bunker, met Hector Barajas, who was the director of that center down there, and which he just left from here. He came down to El Paso to visit and walk with us a little bit. And we met Mr. Erasmo Apodaca, who this walk is dedicated to, and, who passed away May 22nd, 2 days after he received his letter for an interview, and he had been deported, I believe, 22 years. Mm. And, and like I told you in the past, is we attended the funeral. They asked us to do a flag folding ceremony for him. And I had to deliver an American flag on behalf of, I said, of our, of our veterans and, to the family, an American flag on behalf of, of us to a family on foreign soil, which I found just repulsive. And it shook me. It shook me to know that things like this were happening, and there was no time to waste. So we got on this right away. What better way than to bring awareness to this issue than to walk the border? The significance of it, right, where most are deported through, and bring awareness every step of the way. Just talk to everyone that we can, elected officials, folks, Border Patrol agents who knew about it and who many have stated that, they want to see a change in policy. And obviously because of their position, they have to do their job. But, they're not comfortable. Many are veterans. So this is how it started. It started because a friend died, didn't have access to health care here in the U.S. or to the VA. He dies. His family's left unprotected there in Mexico. They're all alone. And we don't want to see others go through this. And as we've been on this walk, we've seen that there are more and more in this situation. It wasn't unique to him. It's many, especially our Vietnam era veterans who are now in their 70s and are suffering and need help immediately. This was an issue that needs to be resolved now. Our president promised that he would fix it. He issued on July 2nd, I believe, statements that they were going to stop the deportation of veterans, start the process of bringing some of them home, and obviously facilitate the citizenship process while on active duty. But just 2 days ago, we got word that another Marine was deported into Tijuana, Mexico. So it still nothing's changed at this point. Even though the president gave those orders, he hasn't signed the executive orders that would prevent this from happening. We also have congressmen like Mark Tucano, who is the chairman of the Veterans Affairs Committee. He's sitting on many bills that have been introduced to help alleviate some of these issues. And for some reason, one reason or another, he's refused to introduce them to the floor where we would believe they would have bipartisan support. I don't know what the reason is for that. I mean, he does not have, he's not a veteran and does not have any military experience. So maybe he doesn't understand the sacrifices that our men and women go through just serving, even during peacetime, even stateside, the sacrifices that our young men and women make for the benefit of this country.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I remember we talked when you had first started your walk, and I was trying to keep up with the local news as you were making your way. And I know the LA Times had something that said there are in Department of Defense across all the services, there's 25,000 non-citizens serving in the U.S. Armed Forces. And it's just, it's amazing to me. I mean, I'm sitting here in my living room but as we're recording this, but, you know, if someone serves in our armed forces, especially in a time of war, which we're still in, you know, although it's starting to wind down, but they should be immediately granted citizenship upon completion of their service. It just blows me away. And I can't believe that we're still, you know, I know, you know, the president had said that they weren't going to do that anymore. But now you're telling us now that another Marine was just deported to Tijuana. It just blows me away.
Correct. And I'm trying to get a hold of him as soon as I can. I'll get a hold of him and I'll bring him on through Instagram, which has been a great platform for us to get this word out. Just a lot of different issues, and it requires real, I mean, I'm sure that they're doing their work, right? But he said the first 100 days, and I know that there are a lot of pressing issues, but I mean, this is something that I'm sure that we could set aside just a very tiny amount of resources. And this would be accomplished, you know, almost immediately. It could be done overnight. You know, and the numbers that we received from another show there in Los Angeles, a radio show, and I think it was KXO, I don't recall exactly, but they estimated the numbers they received is that currently on active duty, there are between 90,000 and 100,000 service members that are considered, you know, green card soldiers.
Wow.
Currently serving on active duty. The other shame is that, you know, Immigration and Customs Enforcement does not keep a number, an accurate number of you know, who is a veteran and how many have been deported over the past 25 years. A couple of, you know, two agencies are giving different, but the one gave 95, and I think the other one was like 295 over, you know, 295 deported veterans over, you know, between 2013 and 2018. But the fact of the matter is that no one knows exactly how many veterans have been deported. There are veterans who have passed away at this point. There are veterans who just don't want to be found. I just got word today of one here in Juarez, Mexico, who was a drill instructor and eventually got deported and, you know, I think was up to the rank of gunnery sergeant. But she refuses to be found now. She refuses to talk to anybody. She just wants to she feels betrayed and wants to just disappear. So at this point, we'll never know, it's my belief that we will never know how many veterans were actually deported, because they never tracked them, and it would be a huge undertaking to just cross-reference social security numbers or what, and you know, to, you know, it will require different government agencies to take this on, and we know the red tape that exists in the federal government, and so I don't think that it would never ever happen just because of the bureaucracy. But there are thousands of veterans, according to these shelters south of the border, that have been deported, and that doesn't account for the ones that are, you know, worldwide in Jamaica and Haiti and Europe and Africa. Mm-hmm. So we'll never know.
Yeah, I mean, and for those individuals, it's even tougher to get in touch with them because they're so far away. It's not like, you know, they're just across the line. But that it just, it's amazing. So, you know, right now, when we were talking off air, you were telling me you're about 30 miles outside of El Paso at this point.
Yes, sir. We are about 30 miles off of El Paso. We paused for just a minute to visit with the folks south of the border. There's a pretty good sized shelter here. I met about, I believe, 8 veterans. I met one veteran specifically that is in his deathbed. And he was still out there trying to, you know, he went out to meet me. He could barely walk. But so we paused for a little bit here in El Paso. But now we got to make up time. We're still on track to get to Boca Chica by August 11th. Mm-hmm. But it's going to require, you know, some long days and a lot of mileage. I did include there a couple of short days, would be about 20 miles, 25 miles. So, but most of the days are going to be pretty long. And, you know, what we're doing now is we're looking for, you know, areas where I could take shortcuts, such as, you know, going off the main road or the main path or away from the fence for a little bit to cut, you know, some of the angles in there and just cut off a few miles. That would help a lot. But yeah, about 30 miles east of El Paso, we are actually going to post this evening our schedule for Texas, which is, we have about 21 days left. So we'll post it this evening with pretty accurate dates. I think we got it down to the mile of where we're going to be. So that'll be on the American Veterans Homefront Initiative.com. Posted tonight, and also on our Facebook, and then of course my personal accounts, we'll add that as well to make sure that people know where we're at. A lot of people have been joining us, they want to join us, and we weren't able to give an accurate schedule just because we weren't sure how this trip was going to go, right? I didn't know if my body would survive it. At this point, we're doing okay.
So. Well, that's good. We're glad to hear that. I mean, that's we're glad to hear that you're hanging in there. Now, how many miles have you walked so far?
I don't know, to be honest. I refuse to keep track of it exactly because it's a psychological thing, I think, for me. But a reporter just calculated. She said, based on the routes that were available, I don't know, she did some weird math. She said it's about, you know, 750 miles, I think she said. And I was like, oh, well, you know, I'm glad you counted because I'm refusing to. So.
That's a lot of rucking under the feet, but... we're pulling for you, man. I mean, I'm glad you were able to check in with us today. We're going to keep continuing, you know, trying to talk to you all along the way, as long as you're willing to talk with us, and we'll check in and bring some light to this issue. And hopefully by the time you're finished, we'll have some resolution on this.
Yeah, no, you know, Steve, I actually enjoy our conversations. I've had a lot of conversations with reporters and with folks, but I think that you understand firsthand, you know, what is going on, you know, what our troops go through. And honestly, I appreciate also your support and the fact that you put us on your show, because it helps to bring awareness to this issue that I think was, they've done a lot of work on this. They've done a lot of stories and you know, documentaries and stuff, but still the word doesn't get out. But I think it takes this kind of effort and people like yourself and your show willing to put us on and help us spread the message. So get it out there and help us do something about it. So I greatly appreciate your support. I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show. And yeah, I look forward to having this conversation again.
Absolutely. And, you know, although the two issues are quite different, you know, with the move to bring a lot of the Afghans who work for us to the United States, I think it would be a really good PR time for the president to not only take care of the Afghans who work for us loyally, but for those who worked for us and have been deported. So let's hopefully on August 11th, bring all those guys home.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think that it just would show the type of nation that we are, you know, that we keep our word to our allies and our word to our troops. There are some folks still up in the hills of Vietnam that have been in hiding now over 25 years and that are currently being wiped out by the government there. You know, those were allies. They fought along our side, you know, in Vietnam, and they're still being persecuted. And, you know, those are the people that, you know, in order to maintain credibility to protect, you know, American interests, you know, around the world and in our nation, our borders and our way of life, we need to keep our word, and we need to do right by them. So, yeah, I would love to see the Afghan interpreters come home, our troops come home, and, you know, all those that helped us along the way come to this nation.
Well, before we let you go and get some well-needed rest there, tell our listeners how they can contribute and, you know, to the cause. And, you know, if talk about your website as well, because maybe some vets want to walk a day or so along the route with you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Our website is www.AmericanVeteransHomeFrontInitiative.com. Yes, I know it's long. I have to rethink the name, I guess. But AmericanVeteransHomeFrontInitiative.com. It has a little button there. They can contribute through PayPal. And, you know, a lot of folks have been wanting to buy us water and snacks, but we can't carry that. So I always tell folks, you know, save that money. Just contribute 20, 25 bucks. It all goes a long way. You know, it would help us. And, again, any funds that aren't used to this, I want folks to remember that these funds, this is just the current issue that we're on, but we are, this nonprofit is set up to help veterans, you know, in any time in their lives when they are in need. The one thing that is unique is that we don't hand out anything. Everything is through sweat equity. And, you know, it's because, you know, our veterans don't want any handouts. They want to hand up. And that is how we operate this organization.
Excellent. Well, you know, we're wishing you the best, and hey, keep slogging those miles, my friend. I mean, that's some impressive stuff. The 750 yes, mile ruck is that's longer than I've rucked. So,
hey, yeah,
at least all at once. I mean,
I'm sure you got your miles in there.
Yeah, oh, I got some miles in, but not all at once like that, my friend. So, hey, we're pulling for you, but like, yeah, let's definitely keep in touch. And, you know, especially when you get closer to Brownsville, which is your, well, right outside of Brownsville, isn't it, where your ending point is? So, and
ending point would be in Boca Chica, but the event will come right back into Brownsville. They have a retired first sergeant, Marine Corps first sergeant out there, and I called her up. I served with her about 20 years ago. Asked her to coordinate the event for us. First Sergeant Christine Ramos is out there, and she's handling the event and all the logistics for that to make sure that we have a good event, good press, and that we're able to continue to get the message out. So you're more than welcome to join us August 11th in Brownsville, Texas, sir.
Excellent, excellent. Hey, folks, Ramon Castro from I'm going to try to say this right without getting it all mixed up, from American Veterans Home Front Initiative. I always get tongue-tied on that, but if you can support that in any way, please do, folks. And before we go, if you want to get Soft Rep on your phone, download our free mobile app and get easy access to our articles, podcasts, gear reviews, all perfectly formatted to your device. Please subscribe to softrep.com to get access to all our library of ebooks and our exclusive team room forums and content available on all your Apple and Android devices. We want to thank you all for joining us this afternoon. And thanks again, Ramon, for joining us and taking the time. Good luck, man. We're going to be, you know, monitoring the site, and let's get this done.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Appreciate the support.
All right.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Soft Rep Radio.